둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. Check out the episode. If you're not already, make sure to hit that subscribe button. You know how this works. You're going to get new interviews just like this one sitting your way every single week. You can grab us from Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. We've, of course, had some great guests on lately, like songwriters, platinum, incredible songwriting Hall of Fame songwriters, Desmond Child and David Foster. We talked with Maynard James Keenan, lead singer of Tool, A Perfect Circle, and Pussifer. Producer Gil Holland was here. The cast of Shrinking, including Jessica Williams, Krista Miller, Ted McGinnis, and Michael Urey. We talked with Petula Clark and Don McLean, Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips, Catalina Sandino Moreno, and Sasha Calle, who star in The Rip, alongside Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Stephen Knight, he created Peaky Blinders and joined Malachi Kirby to talk about A Thousand Blows on Disney Plus. Nico Case, who's got a brand new record, Amy Mann, Joe Henry, and Walker Scobell, who's starring as Percy Jackson in the Disney Plus series. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. I'm Kyle Meredith. It's been a fun week around here. Lots happening. Just watched the trailer for the drama. And look, A24, they've already got me by default. But this one looks especially intriguing. If you haven't seen it yet, it's out there. You can watch it now. Written and directed by Christopher Borgli. Stars Zendaya, Robert Pattinson, Alana Haim, who's been on the show before, among many other cast in this this killer lineup. And really interesting setup. Maybe you would call it deceptively simple, right? Days before their wedding, what looks like a total storybook romance between Zendaya's character and Robert Pattinson's character takes a hard left when something comes out. They don't let us know what. And whatever Zendaya's character has done, it's bad. Or maybe it just feels bad. You don't know. That's kind of the fun here. It could be literally anything. Which leaves the whole thing wide open to some pretty wild guesses that I've been doing ever since that trailer come out. It's got that unmistakable A24 mood to it. What do you say? Romantic, unsettling, funny, in that slightly creepy way. And that tension that just kind of hums under every sing. And it looks cool, man. It's the kind of movie that messes with the expectations and really does sit with you afterward. You can watch the trailer now, and the drama hits theaters April 3rd. Definitely one I want to see on the big screen. But as for what we're doing today, today we are talking about season 2 of The Artful Dodger, a Hulu original series with actors David Thewlis and Thomas Brody Sangster. David, you have seen, he's been doing some incredible work for decades now, like Dragonheart, 7 Years in Tibet, The Big Lebowski, Harry Potter, where of course he played Professor Remus Lupin. We saw him in The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, The Theory of Everything, Enola Holmes 2, and Thomas Brody Sangster. He met the world in his big breakthrough moment, at least, with Love Actually, and that drum set that we got to see him on. He's played in Nanny McPhee. He's the voice of Ferb in Phineas and Ferb. Jojen Reed in Game of Thrones. Of course, the Maze Runner films that were so huge. Nowhere Boy. And now seeing him as the title character in The Artful Dodger on Hulu and Disney. And let's read all about it. Jack's back. The Artful Dodger returns, and he's in deep trouble. He's got an appointment with a noose. He's being hunted by Inspector Boxer, Port Victory's new lawman, and if he sees the woman he loves, Lady Bell, he'll be hanged. Meanwhile, Lady Bell is determined to forge her future in medicine, defying expectations and stepping into danger, driven by ambition and a love already hanging in the balance. With Boxer competing with Jack for Bell's affection, the crafty Fagin, that's played by David Thewlis, drags Dodger into their most dangerous heist yet, and a killer is on the loose. Get ready for an explosive season of new characters and locations with more thrills, humor, heart, invention, and deception than ever. It's such a fun show, and it's, you know, because it's also a medical drama, so you get to see, like, I mean, you get to see the gross stuff, the fun gross stuff of the medical drama. They don't hold back on that stuff, so that part's interesting, and the romance is great, and the twists in the stories, and you think it's, the show's more simple than it is, and the more it goes on, it just pulls you in, and it gets twistier and twistier. I really had so much fun watching it. In fact, David Thewlis will echo me in that as well, about just wanting to tell everybody about this show. So we get to hear about Fagin's new status, wealthier, unhingier, no longer Dodger's underling, and the arrival of that Inspector Boxer, a bad guy who's inconveniently ethical, educated, and annoyingly handsome. Thomas says that they're basically done worrying about Dickens now. Now that they're past season one, kind of, that's the source material, and talks about having to find the voice again after a 2-year break. And we'll talk about it, you know, figure out if he can hold on to any of that medical jargon that he spits out so well on the screen. And we'll talk about the running and the action and the less running that David might want, and the beard that he gets to grow and shave in his head, and all that and more as we discuss season 2 of The Artful Dodger, Hulu original series. It's Kyle Meredith with David Thewlis and Thomas Brody Sangster. Right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. February has a funny way of making it seem like everyone else has their love life completely figured out. Whether it's couples, posts, engagement announcements, or just a general noise around relationships, I know it can feel like you're somehow behind. But the truth is, most of us are still figuring it out. Married? Dating? Single, or somewhere in between. Honestly, that includes me. Relationships are complicated, and they don't come with a rule book. Whether it's learning how to communicate better, letting go of old expectations, or just figuring out what actually feels right at this stage of life, it's a process. And therapy can help take some of that pressure off by helping you understand what feels heavy, what you want, and what might be getting in the way. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. You fill out a short questionnaire about your needs and preferences, and they do the matching work for you. With more than 12 years of experience, over 30,000 therapists, more than 6 million people served worldwide, they typically get it right the first time. And if they don't, you can switch to another therapist from their tailored recommendations. So sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that, cools up to 8 times faster, and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus free premium delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with David Thielis and Thomas Brody Sangster.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to see you both, and congratulate you on this second season. Fantastic show you've all continued.
Thank you.
Well, sorry, second season, right? I mean, for a lot of shows, you sort of have to break everything. You got to break everything and kind of flip it all around. What do you all want to do? There's something about this season, and I haven't been able to pinpoint it just yet, but there feels like a bit of a tonal shift.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, there are things that have really changed. You know, Fagin is now is a wealthier man and is no longer subservient to Dodger, and he's now his convict servant, and he's living in a rather grand home, and he's got aspirations to accrue even more wealth, and is becoming increasingly powerful and increasingly kind of unhinged. I don't know if that's tonal shift, though. I hope if there is, it's a good thing. I sometimes think that second seasons, sometimes cast and crews can get a little too confident and they start to rest on their laurels and become complacent. I hope that's not what's happening. But I think that there's a, you know, I think maybe the biggest thing is the introduction of Boxer. We don't have a very definite bad guy in this, because Boxer should be, he's replacing Gaines, but actually Boxer's rather a wonderful person. There's nothing, you know, he has good ethics. He's educated. He's ridiculously handsome, and he's a plausible suitor for Belle. And I think that, you know, maybe that's where there's some kind of tonal shift in terms of character.
It's fun to play with that, to not have the actual villain in such a way, but to still be able to expand a story like that. Yeah. And you know, for people that's just catching up, I mean, Thomas, you all are building off of these characters, of course, that you did in the first season. How much do you even consider the books at this point?
The books?
Yeah.
Not at all, actually. no, we've gone our own way with it, and we've already done the first season, and kind of learnt what worked with that, and feel quite comfortable and confident in taking the characters and moving the show forward. So our source material becomes season one, really, which is it's a nice place to be, because you know that what you were doing did work in some way, some capacity. So draw upon that. It's a bit hard when it's 2 years later and you're going, oh, what exactly was that again, and how did we get there, and is this the kind of way I would approach this, and is this what I sound like? Yeah. So finding that voice again, it takes a couple of takes, at least I'd say, but it didn't take too long before we were back there and rolling again quite comfortably.
Do either of you all think about the characters between seasons? Do they stay on your mind at all?
Yeah, a little. I mean, for me personally, I really enjoy playing this character very much. So I don't think about him. I just, not like I'm walking the streets going like, I just love Fagin. But I probably talk about it a lot because I want people to watch it, because I'm very fond of the show. So when people say, what have you been doing? Or someone says, this is something you've done recently, people should watch. I say, I don't really recommend things I've done to people, but I do this because I think not enough people have seen it. And I know that everyone I have recommended it to has been very grateful, because I think it's surprising. It surprises people how much they enjoy it. So I think about it in that respect. I bring it up in conversation if people ask me, should they watch something I've been in recently?
Sure, but it's just not like you said, it's just not something on your mind. Like I don't know how that works for any actor between seasons. Like, you know, to be able to step away from it, to come back, or
you're usually doing something else in between. Hopefully, you've gone away and be. You know, I was Sherlock Holmes in between the two seasons, playing, which was completely overtook my mind for several months. You know, so another, you know, Victorian literary character. But so I wasn't thinking of Fagin at all during that.
Thomas, it seems to me that this role requires a lot of running. There's so much running in every episode. I feel like you've got to get in shape just to do this.
I actually wanted more running.
You want more running?
I quite like it when Dodger does action. I quite like, I think he should do more running, bumping into people, jumping over stuff, and like his hat and his coat kind of flies around all over the place. I think that's quite fun and dynamic. So, I wanted more. I did a bit of sword fighting the first one. I think, more of that's fun. Yeah. He's a sailor. He should be up and down the masts and running around the Dickensian streets when he was a little boy. I think he's like a little dog running around. That's good.
I'm up for less running. Right. I asked him not to put much running into it.
You're slightly a walk that increases in pace slightly.
Yeah, I sort of totter a little bit. I'll probably do season 3 in a wheelchair.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with David Thewlis and Thomas Brody Sangster. Thomas, do you hold on to the medical jargon at all?
No. It goes in one ear, out the other. I just learn how to say the word for that moment, and then it's gone. But I mean, Dodge is more of a he learns on the job, and he works on his instincts. So he's not a well-read individual, and it doesn't matter for my character, which is quite good. it was Maya that I felt sorry for. She is a very well-read individual, so she was the one that struggled with the big long words.
I've heard that from other actors on medical dramas and everything. Yeah. And I don't know why that's surprising, but it just seems like that's pretty natural. That it's like, you know, I don't hold on to any of that.
Well, why would you? You go around treating people and diagnosing people in your kind of private life. It'd be a strange thing to do, to hang on to it, really.
Someone says, is there a doctor in the house? You're the last one.
I've played one in the Victorian era. Is that any use?
Does the pacing of the show, because it is such fast pacing, does that affect the acting in any specific way?
It makes you try and speak very fast, truly. So when I'm learning my lines, I am learning them at speed, which is a bit of a bind, really. I feel like you've created a rod for your own back by just thinking, not only do you have this quite complicated dialogue, plot-heavy, kind of expositional, but beautifully written dialogue, but you've got to deliver it at great speed. So, I feel like it is fast, and I think that's a nice thing to keep. It doesn't slow down very much, the show, and it's a definite credit that the show has. So I think it's a...
I think actors in general do quite... It's a common directing... tip to just speed it up.
Yeah,
we do like to add lots of dramatic pauses, especially if we haven't got much to say. Extend out the pauses to make the most of it.
David, only because I heard you talk about this so much during that first round, you got to grow the beard back.
Yes,
easier this time. Welcome, and the hair too.
It's never easy to grow a beard. And I have to time that with other jobs. It's kind of in my contract even that I have to finish. I mean, I did the Sherlock Holmes thing. It was clean shaven. And when we knew we were doing a second season, I kept a beard diary, which I, on my phone, it's where I took a picture every week at least to see how quick it grew. And I'm just kind of, this is not a hint that we're doing a season 3 because I'm doing something else soon. So I'm growing this for that. And shaving my head, which I love. I love shaving my head. That's a very liberating thing to do. And I don't really like having all this up here. So I'm just hoping we'll do it again just so I can get all this off again.
I love the idea of a beard diary. The idea of a beard having a diary anyway, but... outside of that, I'll wrap up.
Today, this is the never end.
Seriously, great job on what you guys do. I've so enjoyed these 2 seasons, and it's been such a pleasure talking to you both.
You too, you too. Thank you.
Take care. We'll see you. My thanks to David and Thomas. Season 2 of The Artful Dodger is out now on Hulu and Disney. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org.
where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 hours of classics and new music and music and film news and bonus interviews. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Ray, Sting, Clover County, The Smiths, Kirsty MacColl, Bob Dylan, Deep Purple, Jane's Addiction, Cautious Clay, The Pixies, Amy Mann, Billy Bragg, Lana Del Rey, Haley Hendricks, Salt, Florence and the Machine, and my interviews with Walker Scobell, Michael C. Hall, he plays Dexter, documentarian Morgan Neville, and Graham Nash from CSNY. Just an example of what you get when you tune in weeknight starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like, follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yes. So you want us to pinpoint it?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.